Living as Christians in a Secular World, by Robert C. Newman. We face some unprecedented situations in today's world. We see real advances in our knowledge of the physical world. That sometimes tempts people to think that there is no spiritual world. We experience real changes in lifestyles due to advances in technology. Sometimes people wonder whether the Bible has anything relevant to say, given all these changes. Yet human nature has not changed. We tend to ignore God. We tend to take advantage of those who are weaker than we are. We have sometimes get run over by those who are stronger than we are. God has not changed either. He already knew the end from the beginning. He designed in the universe all the facts we are now discovering, plus many more we have not yet discovered, plus many we will never discover before the end of the age. He's not surprised by anything. How are we to live as Christians in times like these? Well, there are many passages we could look at to focus our discussion. I want to consider these two, Micah 6:8 and Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Here's what they look like. Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And then Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. We want to consider these two passages in connections with the connection with the lives of Joseph, Daniel, and Moses, taking them as our examples. So let's look, first of all, at acting justly and in regard to the responsibilities that are set before us if we're not a judge. This often means living with diligence, working with diligence. Think about Joseph. Joseph rose to the top in every situation he faced. As a younger son in a big family, as a slave in Potiphar's household, as an inmate in an Egyptian prison. Moses, we don't have much information about his growing up in Egypt under Pharaoh. He probably grew up under rather good conditions since he was adopted essentially by the daughter of the Pharaoh. But certainly, he labored diligently on behalf of the Israelites when they got out into the wilderness. Daniel. Similarly for Daniel and his three friends in Babylon, they showed themselves 10 times better than the other civil servants. Well, as we think about these three examples, each of these people were no doubt given unusual natural gifts from God, and each of them used them faithfully for him. They knew this was the right thing to do, and they did it. They didn't try to coast on their abilities, didn't compromise, etc. God wants us to use the gifts and opportunities he's given us vigorously, and then he will give us more. The second theme is loving mercy, and the term there, mercy, is actually a rather broad term, chesed, which can mean mercy or faithfulness, etc. And so this also has to do with our priorities and our loyalties. Joseph put God first, even though it continually seemed to get him into trouble. In his family, he said what he knew to be the truth, though it was unpopular. It got him to the trouble of being nearly killed and being sold into slavery. In Potiphar's house in Egypt, he would not commit adultery because this would be a sin against God and against Potiphar's trust in him, even though Potiphar's wife, who wanted him to commit adultery with her, made things very tough for him and wound up getting him thrown in a prison, the Egyptian prison. What about Moses? Moses' faithfulness to God's covenant, he could not restrain himself when he saw his people mistreated. He certainly knew the dangers involved. He was willing to give up all the riches and honors that were his in Egypt to identify himself with his God and with God's despised, enslaved people. Daniel, as a young man, was willing to risk his career in order to obey God's food laws. His companions risked death rather to avoid idolatry. As an old man, Daniel risked death rather than stop praying to his God. What can we say about these three examples? God may vindicate us in life as he did these three, or he may vindicate us in death as those mentioned in Hebrews 11, 35 through 39, who did not receive a last-minute rescue. In either case, God wants us to keep in mind and live by the real priorities. And Jesus sketches these real priorities for us in the Gospels when he says that we are to love God with everything we are and have. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Thirdly, walking humbly. Walking humbly really means trusting God, because the only way one can afford to be humble is if you believe in one who supports the humble, one who will raise them up in due time. Joseph was willing to humble himself at each disaster in his life, rather than becoming bitter, which he certainly had strong temptation to do. In his success, he did not become proud and vengeful. There's nothing to suggest that he got back at Potiphar or Potiphar's wife. He used his opportunity with his brothers, not to get vengeance on them, but to bring them to repentance. And he always gave God the credit for his abilities and for the events in his life. You meant this for evil, but God used this for good. What about Moses? Moses was doubtless disillusioned by the response he regularly got from his people, both before and after his 40 years in the wilderness of Midian, and throughout the wilderness wanderings. Yet he continued to cling to God, and continued to intercede for his people. In his leadership of the people, he showed himself, as it says in Numbers 12:3, the humblest man on earth. What about Daniel? Daniel always gave God the credit for his successes. He even showed mercy to the pagan magicians after they had forfeited their lives by not being able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He too did not give up when things seemed to go disastrously for him. And the Lord mightily vindicated him through his patience. Well, may God help us to be humble before him. May we take both the success and disaster that come in our lives as coming from a loving hand. May we take them as opportunities to serve the Lord who made everything and has lovingly given us a chance to do things that will last forever. We try to draw these things together into some conclusions for living as Christians in a secular world as we do now. As Christians in a secular world, a world dominated by science and technology, a world dominated by greed and relativistic ethics, we need to follow the examples of Joseph, Moses, and Daniel. They lived in worlds that were dominated by the science and technology of their time, in royal courts that were way above anything they had grown up for, at least for Joseph and Daniel. Like Joseph, Moses, and Daniel, we need to follow the commands of these two scriptures. We need to do what is right. We're working in science. Science is dealing with God's revelation in nature, and that's not going to contradict God's revelation in the Bible. Sometimes it's the scientific interpreters who will be wrong. Sometimes it's the Bible interpreters that will be wrong. But it won't ever be God that is wrong. We can trust God, and we can seek to deal fairly with his revelation in both nature and in Scripture. We need to put God first, others second, and ourselves last in our priorities. We need to be loyal to God in all that we do. We need to treat others with fairness and reach out to them in love. If our colleagues see that we honor God, that we care about them, and we treat our work with the importance it deserves, they will be more likely to listen to our message. We need to trust God in every circumstance. We don't know enough to take things into our own hands, thinking foolishly that we can do better than God by ignoring his rules. We must humble ourselves beneath the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time, as the apostle says in 1 Peter 5:6. Well, that's the end of our talk. May the Lord help each one of us to do these things and to honor the Lord in our lives.